with lucid dreaming, if we have the ability to, one, realize then we're in this dream and maybe change the outcome a little bit or not to worry as much because we know it's a dream, what's the purpose of it? I mean, there's got to be a benefit here somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it goes beyond that. I mean, the first thing to realize about lucid dreaming is that people really find the experience extremely satisfying. That, you know, see, the typical non-lucid dream, the average emotion in that is a kind of mild anxiety where things aren't quite going right and, you know, frustration or something. But in lucid dreams, they're usually positive emotions at the very least, you know, range from mild exhilaration, you know, to deeply meaningful, ecstatic peak experiences where, you know, people will describe this as was the most important experience I had in my entire life. Well, what brings out that kind of experience? Well, it's both lucid dreaming has the, you know, ability, for example, to overcome nightmares, to work through your deepest fears, to say, here are the things that are, you know, frightening me to death, but I can master my fears by directly dealing with them, looking at them, going through them, and really reframing the experience away from the frightening nightmare where my life is threatened. You say, yes, I'm terrified, but what else can I do differently about it? There's a wonderful Gary Larson cartoon where there are two. You see the picture out the living room window, and there on the front porch is this, you know, giant insect, and behind the door is one little old lady saying the other, and she says, calm down, Edith. Yes, it's some giant hideous insect, but it may be a giant hideous insect in need of help.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the idea of reframing, to say, yes, it's a frightening image, but maybe this frightening image is a part of yourself that needs attention, needs acceptance or understanding, or because after all, the dreams that you're making are your own mind. So in that sense, it's you. And so you're frightening yourself with your own reflection. It's like a funhouse mirror in which, you know, you have strange distortions. And if you're frightened, then you're going to have experiences of fear. And so the idea is that lucid dreaming is an opportunity for self-encounter, for self-exploration, for understanding yourself better. So it's a kind of self-development tool. I really think the best way of dealing with nightmares that's available, because it lets you really take responsibility and grow from them and take the full potential of and reframe your experiences, just as the Gary Larson cartoon told us. But to go further than that, and the Tibetan Buddhists have been practicing for 1,000 years a yoga of the dream state, and they regard lucid dreaming as having two great virtues. One, as it's a means of spiritual progress while people are alive, to be able to practice recognizing one is dreaming, and then to realize that all of life is like a dream. And what I think that means is simply that everything we can experience is going to be experienced through this virtual reality simulation of the mind. So we always experience whatever it is as if we were watching it on television. So we see things on the television screen. Now, it's always like that, which is to say, an illusion. It's a simulation. It's, for example, you're seeing a picture right now. You're looking at, you know, the studio around you. But we know that the image on the back of your retina is upside down, and then it's like a camera lens, right? And then it's being interpreted by your brain, which then somehow amounts to something like seeing this picture somehow. But that's seeing it in your mind. So it's everything one can experience is mental. So the whole world all around you is stuff that common sense would say is the physical world. The world out there is actually the phenomenal world, which is to say your mind. But then the Tibetan Buddhists go further with the dream yoga. They claim that there is an analogy between falling asleep and dying. And they believe that waking up is the analogy to being reborn, and that they think that by practicing recognizing while you're alive, recognizing when you're dreaming, or lucid dreaming in other words, that it prepares you for a dreamlike transition at death. Now,
that's interesting.
How would you know that? But that sounds extraordinary. If so, it sounds like something we all ought to do, but we shall discover one of these days.
I've always wondered, Stephen, if that is indeed the case, if the actual act of dying is nothing but a dream state that just goes on forever, and you have these different dreams, and maybe we better prepare ourselves to understand lucid dreaming before we die. At least then we can change the outcome a little bit.
Well, that's it. We can wake up to what that this is all a dream. So now, what does it mean? You see, for example, imagine that right now you are thirsty, you know, and am I thirsty? But there's water right next to your bed, but you're asleep and dreaming, you see? And so how are you going to drink the water? Well, you have to wake up to do it, and that's what the I think deepest potential of lucid dreaming is showing us what it would mean to wake up, in the same way that in our ordinary dream we have no idea that we have a wider life, that there's anywhere else. We're so focused on the little world that's right in front of us, you know, going about our business, as you put it, right? Here we are doing whatever it is we're doing without any realization that there is more to life than that. So likewise, here we are, quote, awake, but it's only a relative awakening. And the spiritual teachings are that there's a deeper awakening possible where we can become more alive to the possibilities of life. We can wake up to more of our potential, live a fuller life. And likewise, you know, death is another part of life in that viewpoint, and you can live it fully. You can go through it in a way, or else fear it. And so, well, what's our choice there? You know, I once had a fabulous dream about death that I'd really like to share. You know, there's
all right, go ahead.
Old wives' tale about, you know, if you die in a dream, you actually die, right? It can't be true, because how would anyone know it? But now also, of course, you know, they wouldn't wake up to tell you about it, right? But I had this dream in which it's exactly the kind of dream you were describing of I was going up a mountain path. I was getting tired, and it was getting harder to continue, and then my legs became leaden, you know, and I was dragging them along, and this feeling of paralysis and fatigue is spreading throughout my body. I'm now on crawling along, and I suddenly realize this is it. My very last breath is, I'm just going to die of exhaustion in another moment. What do I want to do with this last moment? And the thought comes to me to accept it fully. With that thought, I completely let go and release my last breath, exhale, and a rainbow comes out of my heart. And I wake up from that experience feeling death is nothing to be afraid of. It's not what people think. Such an amazing dream that the key was reframing that last moment. How do you approach the experience? It's a transition, to be sure. So we go back to being what we were before we were, maybe. But is that nothing, the kind of annihilation we fear? Or is it, you know, an infinity of some kind? Who knows? But I think we ought to approach the experience, embrace it fully.